So our conference this morning is on Frank Duff's booklet called Can We Be Saints? It's an amazing little booklet. It's only 32 pages long, and yet it's one of the finest pieces of Catholic literature, I believe, that was written in this century. And the amazing thing about it is that Frank Duff wrote it when he was a young man. He was only about 27 years old when he wrote this booklet, way back, I believe, in the year 1916, 5 years before the Legion even was started. So what we see in this booklet is really the seeds of Legion spirituality that would later bloom into the Legion handbook. And so many of the ideas contained in here, I think you'll find that has borne great fruit in the Legion. And so I encourage you to try to get a copy of this booklet called Can We Be Saints? And to really read it and study it and apply it to your daily life. You know, Frank Duff was an amazing man. You know, he never married during his life. He devoted his whole life to serving God, even though there were quite a few women that were very interested in him and would have loved to marry him. But he once said, "Why should I make one woman miserable when I can keep at least a half a dozen waiting in hopeful expectation?" So Frank Duff was truly an amazing person. He's up for beatification. So hopefully during our lifetime, he'll be beatified and even canonized. So we should pray each and every day for his cause. What I'd like to do in this conference is to take you through the main points of this booklet, to try to outline it for you and just give you the most important ideas contained in this booklet. And basically, there's 7 parts or 7 chapters of this booklet. And the first part is the introduction. And in this introduction, Frank Duff, I believe, makes 7 main points. The first thing he says is to define what a saint is. And he said, a saint is not someone who performs extraordinary penances and works miracles, because those are not necessary for sanctity. He says there, of course, should be some penance in our life. He said we should avoid softness, comfort, and delicacies. And also, penance would include restraining our tongue from sharp words or from saying bad things, keeping custody of the eyes, and fighting against the 7 deadly sins. But he says working miracles does not raise a person in the eyes of God. Some of the saints did work miracles, but that's not what made them saints. So Frank Duff gives us a new definition of what a saint is. He says, a saint is one who, with the object of pleasing God, does his ordinary duties extraordinarily well. And everyone can do that. It's the little way of Saint Therese the Little Flower, of doing every single thing with great love for God, doing the ordinary duties of your life in an extraordinary way. So this should encourage us, because God has planted the desire to become a saint in the heart of each and every person. So Frank Duff says, begin today to make a serious effort for great holiness. And he says, listen to the words of Cardinal Newman. Cardinal Newman once said, if you ask me what you are to do in order to be perfect, I say, first, do not lie in bed beyond the time of rising. In other words, get up right away. That's hard already, huh? 2, give your first thoughts to God. When you wake up, dedicate the day to God. Say a prayer and offer up the day to God. 3, make a good visit sometime during the day to the Blessed Sacrament. He says also, say the Angelus devoutly. Eat and drink to God's glory. Say the rosary well. Be recollected. Keep out bad thoughts. Make your evening meditation well. You know, say your night prayers well. And examine your conscience daily. And then go to bed in good time, and you are already perfect. So that's the 10-point steps to sanctity of Cardinal Newman. So notice, none of those are really that difficult. They're just the ordinary things of the day, but we do them with great love, and we do them in an extraordinary way. Pardon? Okay. First, do not lie in bed beyond the time of rising. give your first thoughts to God, make a good visit to the Blessed Sacrament, say the Angelus devoutly, eat and drink to God's glory, say the rosary well, be recollected, keep out bad thoughts, make your evening meditation well, examine your conscience each day, and go to bed in good time. And afterwards, they'll be happy to let you look at the booklet, and you can actually, if you didn't get a chance to write all those down, you can write them down right after the conference. So feel free to borrow the booklet right after the conference. So really, the first point that Frank Duff makes in the introduction is that everybody can be a saint, and that he defines sanctity as somebody that just does their ordinary duties extraordinarily well. The second point he makes in the introduction is that everybody will be given enough grace to be a saint, that he's calling everybody to holiness, because everybody up in heaven is a saint, and all of us are called to get to heaven one day. Now, it's our job to cooperate with those graces that God gives us. And saints come from all walks of life. There have been doctors, lawyers, teachers, priests, single people, children, elderly people that have become saints. So saints have been from every race and walk of life. Number three, he says, make holiness a priority. And then see how empty earthly goals are. Like people that go after material things, fame, power, money, all these things are passing, and none of them gives perfect happiness. Only God alone and union with God brings perfect happiness. And Frank Duff says if we put the same effort into becoming a saint that worldly people put into trying to make money or get ahead, then we would all become saints. If we would just have their desire and their drive for holiness as people do for worldly things, then we will become spiritual millionaires. We will become saints. So we're called to set our heart on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. And our Lord himself said this when he said, seek first the kingdom of God. So put God first. And Frank Duff says, make holiness the most important thing in the world for us, and it will become the most natural thing in the world for us. Fourth, he says, think upon the last things, the four last things. He says, remember that we will die. Remember that we will be judged, and that eventually we'll either go to heaven or hell. So he says, think about eternity. Think about the immortality of your soul and how insane it is to prefer temporal things over eternal things. He says, meditate upon the shortness of life and how near death could be at any moment, and how priceless each moment of our life is. And those moments shape our eternity. How we live our life now will determine where we go for all eternity. Number five, he says, be willing to embrace the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross each day and follow in my footsteps. That could be a physical disability, it could be something emotional or something spiritual, dryness in prayer. Whatever our daily cross is, whether it be another person, a relative, a spouse, a child who's left the faith, whatever that cross is, be willing to embrace it and to realize that in life there will be trials and difficulties, but we're called to unite those to Christ and be willing to embrace the cross. That's what the saints did. They embrace the cross. Number six, he says, persevere. Don't just start something, continue to the end. Realize that Frank Duff, you know, his definition of a good legionary is one who understands and obeys the legion rules and who perseveres to the end. One who perseveres to the end, who runs the race and finishes the course, as St. Paul said. Winston Churchill once said he could summarize his whole life's learning in one sentence. Never give up. Never, never give up. So Frank Duff says, persevere to the end. And number seven, the seventh point he makes in the introduction, is the importance of prayer. He says whether a person is active or contemplative, the saints were always men and women of prayer. He says prayer is the most important ingredient for sanctity. He says it's easy to do work, like apostolic work, but oftentimes prayer is much more difficult because we don't often see the results of our prayer. We don't want to fall into what's called the heresy of good works, which is what Dom Chatard talked about in The Soul of the Apostolate, of constantly doing a lot of activity and neglecting our interior life of prayer and spirituality. Frank Depp says, read a good book on how to pray. Learn how to pray. Spend at least a few hours reading a book on that will teach you on how to pray. And he says, don't just pray when you're in church. Pray throughout the day, making little acts of love, aspirations, little prayers throughout the day. He says, he prays little who only prays on his knees. The second chapter that Frank Duff gives us is about our daily schedule. And he gives 5 recommendations on what should be included in our daily schedule. He says the most important thing we could do for our daily schedule is to, if we could, attend daily Mass and Holy Communion. He says this is the greatest means of grace. He says the person who is able to go to morning Mass and who does not do so only deceives himself if he thinks he is aiming at great holiness. So he says Mass and Holy Communion mean a day perfectly begun. He says what we should do is to grow in knowledge and love of the Mass and of the Holy Eucharist by reading books about the Eucharist and about the Mass. And he recommends a book called Hidden Treasure by St. Leonard. And then he says we should try to get other people to go to daily Mass by lending them a book or saying a word to awaken them to the importance and the beauty of daily Mass. The second part of our day, he said, should actually come in the morning. And besides daily Mass, even before that, he says, we should make the morning offering when we wake up. We should begin each day by dedicating our prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to Jesus through Mary. And then recall that throughout the day. Throughout the day, recall that you've dedicated the whole day, all your prayers, works, joys, and sufferings to Jesus through Mary. He says the third ingredient of the day should be the right idea of work. He says we should unite our work to Christ, to offer it to God, and to realize the dignity of work, that when work is done in the proper spirit, it can be sanctifying, and we can even offer it up as a penance for our sins and for the sins of others. Frank Duff says, he who neglects his work and yet thinks because he says many prayers that he is leading a holy life deludes himself. He says monks did not consider themselves further from God when they were working in the fields than when they were on their knees in the chapel. He says Saint Bernard, in the middle of one of his beautiful homilies, stopped suddenly because he heard the bell ring and it was his job to go out and work in the fields. And so the monks were always in the presence of God. Whether they were working or in chapel, they realized that by doing what they were called to do and realizing that work was something good and sanctifying, felt that they were not further away from God when they were doing their work. He says many of them, while they were working, they would just have a pious book open to inspire and suggest holy thoughts. And many of them would actually go to confession before they did a great task, like painting a beautiful picture or doing a sculpture. This is what Michelangelo did. Before he did a sculpture or something, he would go to confession to purify his soul so that the work he did would be more pleasing to God. Fourthly, Frank Duff says, we should have a right idea of duty, the duties of our state and life. And Frank Duff says that this is really how we become holy, by doing the duties of our state and life, being a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good grandmother or grandfather, a good student, a good professional or a good teacher. By doing the duties of our state and life, Frank Duff says, we become holy. And we should not neglect the duties of our state and life. Frank Duff says, if it is your duty to do the dishes, don't run off the benediction. Isn't that great? He says, doing the little things as well as the big things out of love for God and our neighbor show our love for God. So we should do even the little things of our daily schedule out of love for God. He says, our day is like a painting, and each moment of the day is like a little stroke or a little line, and that goes to make up the whole picture of our day and eventually of our lives. And sometimes it's the smallest line that makes the most difference in a painting. Like on the Mona Lisa, it's that little smile that makes it such a great painting. But that's only a few lines. And so Frank Duff says that the little things of the day can make a big difference if we do the duties of our state in life well. He tells the story of a Japanese craftsman who spent days carving the inside of a vase that nobody was going to see. And somebody asked him, why are you wasting all this time? Nobody's ever going to see it. And the craftsman said, do not I see it myself? And then we as Christians can add, does not God see it as well? So we can do these little things out of love for God as well. Fifth, he says, another ingredient for our daily schedule should be daily prayer. He says, we are always called to live in the presence of God. He told the story of a Spanish nun who, when she was serving people in the refectory, in the cafeteria, she would always picture each of the people that she served as Jesus or the Blessed Mother or the 12 apostles. And that was a form of devotion to her. Serving these men and women at table was an act of spirituality, an act of prayer. She tried to have this in her mind to pray always and to do whatever she did out of love for Christ. So some of the ways in which we can pray throughout the day is saying the Angelus, saying grace before meals, when we pass by a church, making the sign of the cross and telling Jesus that we love him. But Frank Duff says there's also other ways in which we can remind ourselves of God throughout the day. He says if you see a funeral pass by, say a prayer for the person who died. Whenever you meet a friend, that should remind you to say a prayer. Or if you hear of a death, if somebody says, oh, did you hear that somebody passed away? That could help you think of God and to say a prayer for that person. Or every time you hear a clock strike or a bell ring, or every time you write a date or sharpen a pencil or thread a needle, he says you can train yourself to think of God during these times. Whenever you hear the bell ring at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, that can remind you to say a little prayer. He says that you can do this throughout the day. He gives the example that whenever you look at your watch, that could remind yourself to say a little prayer. And he says, for example, whenever I look at my watch, I will say a short aspiration. And you will then get into the good habit of doing this. The third chapter, Frank Duff tells us, in this chapter, talks about the difficulties and the hindrances and the pitfalls on the spiritual life. And he says in this chapter, there are five obstacles to the spiritual life. The first one, he says, is sin. He says sin is the number one barrier that keeps us from God. And obviously, these things would be any serious violation of the Ten Commandments. And he even mentions things such as dishonesty, wronging one's employer, gambling, intemperance, cursing. But he says, for the people that he's writing to, and probably like yourselves, these things have already been driven out, because he's writing this book for people who are making a serious effort to live the spiritual life. But he says there are other common faults that we often don't think about, such as self-love, lying, backbiting, vanity, envy. He says these will diminish within us prayer and love. And yet there are even other things that he says that are enemies to sanctity, which are even more hidden. And even good people have these things. Even well-intentioned people can be discontent or suffer from human respect, which means they care too much about what other people think and not what God thinks. an uncontrolled tongue, ill temper, discouragement, or conceit. And he says the hidden dangers of these is that even good people have to struggle with these things. The second hindrance, he says, in the spiritual life is discontent. And this is basically when we're, which makes us tend to be unhappy with what we have. For example, thinking that, well, because we're in this particular state in life, we can't become a saint. People oftentimes think, well, if I was anything else but what I am now, I could become a saint. For example, they think, well, if I was a priest or if I was a nun, then I could become a saint, but since I'm married or since I have a difficult husband or since I live alone, I can't become a saint. Frankl says that's discontent and we should never let that sink in. We should realize that you can become holy in your vocation, whatever it may be. Whether you're single, married, separated, widowed, no matter what your vocation is, you can discover and become a saint in your vocation. Now, there's a neat story called Acres of Diamonds. And this was an interesting story because I think it reveals a very powerful lesson. There was an African farmer who heard stories about diamonds and about all the diamond mines. And so what he did was he sold his property, his acres, and he went off and spent his whole life searching through Africa looking for diamonds. He spent his whole life, 30, 40 years, eventually he found no diamonds and he got discouraged and despaired and he committed suicide, he drowned himself. Well, years later, back on the farm that he originally had owned, on the farm he originally had as his own farm, the new owner was out walking in the fields and he came by a creek bed and he saw something glisten and he picked up a big rock and he thought, oh, this is interesting, and he put it on his mantle. Well, a friend came to visit and he saw this big stone on the mantle and says, where did you get that? And the fellow says, oh, it was out in the creek bed. There are hundreds of them out there. And his friend said, do you know what you've discovered? That's one of the largest diamonds ever discovered. And he says, oh, my whole property is filled with acres of diamonds. And so they went out and they gathered up all these diamonds. It turned out that the land that the original man had owned was filled with diamonds. But he never checked his own property before selling it and going off searching for diamonds on other parts of Africa. And that's a true story. And it's a powerful lesson that in your own life, God gives you acres of diamonds. And don't think, well, if you had somebody else's life, you could become a saint. It's in your own life that God gives you the graces to become holy. So accept your vocation and realize that God will give you all the graces you need in your vocation. The third point he makes under hindrances to the spiritual life is human respect. And this, he says, is a weak spot in Catholics. It means you care too much about what other people think of you. And that oftentimes ridicule and unpopularity are held in greater esteem than truth and principle. He gives the example, he says, well, you might say grace when you're at home, but do you say grace in a restaurant? He says, if you don't say grace in a restaurant, it probably means you care too much about what other people think and you're suffering from human respect. Or you'll say grace at home, but not when you're with your coworkers or with your friends. He says that you don't want to have a religious picture in your living room because your visitors or friends might think you're religious. Or he says you'd be mortified if your rosary beads fell from your pocket in public or in your company of Protestants or if you're on the bus. He says if letting people see your rosary would mortify you, he says you're probably suffering from human respect. So he says instead, care about what God thinks, not about what other people think. He says, don't treat God like the rich people treat their poor relatives, acknowledging them in private, but ignoring them in public. He says, there's a remedy for this. How to overcome human respect, he says, wear something Catholic. That could be a little cross, a little miraculous medal, a pro-life rose, the precious feet. He says, wear something Catholic. So that everybody that sees you will know that you're a Christian or that you're a Catholic. And he says, people wear things all the time, you know, for religion, you know, they wear like badges for politicians that they like, or they have t-shirts that advertise Miller beer, or they advertise different things. If we're not afraid to advertise, you know, Tommy Hilfiger or something like that, we shouldn't be afraid to advertise Jesus. Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Heavenly Father. Frank Duff says, the trouble is that you are not really proud of being a Catholic. He says, become proud of it. And he says, but you have to be moderate. Don't give the example of eccentricity. For example, if somebody wore 25 medals or a whole bunch of badges and things, he says, that would only diminish your influence on people. Because people, you don't want to be known as an eccentric or somebody that's not normal. You want to be a good, normal Catholic, like Frank Duff, Del Quim, who did not do anything eccentrically, but who really lived their faith in a very devout way. The fourth hindrance to the spiritual life, Frank Duff says, is discouragement. He says, don't become discouraged for lack of results. As Mother Teresa says, we're called to be faithful, not successful. Success is up to God. What we're called to do is to be faithful. Frank Duff says, don't look for results. Just do the task put before you with purity of intention. If we had the results, sometimes we would become proud or conceited. So it's better if we don't see results, which might keep us humble. And sometimes when we see results, the pride will destroy the whole beauty of the act that we had done for love of God. And then he says the fifth hindrance of the spiritual life is pride. Pride is the root of all sin. He says the remedy to becoming proud is to often repeat, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Frank Duff says, if you become truly humble, God will use you for great things. He only chooses humble people to do his great work. Like John Paul II, Mother Teresa, Frank Duff, and others, Del Quim, they were truly humble instruments of the Lord. And because of that, God used them to do great things. The fourth chapter, Frank Duff tells us, are the spiritual weapons. And he gives us four weapons to grow in holiness and to live our Christian life. He says first should be true devotion to the Blessed Mother, a tender and loving devotion to Our Lady. A saint once said, show me how you say your Hail Marys, and I will tell you how much you love God. Frank Duff says that many saints had calluses on their fingertips because of all the rosaries that they said. He also says you must have a tremendous love for the Blessed Mother. Read and pray until you get that love. He says, ask Jesus to give you the love that he wants you to have for her. So you can't love Mary more than Jesus loves her. So say, Jesus, give me the love that you have for your mother. Help me to love your mother as much as you love her and as much as you want me to love her. Realize that Mary is not only our mother, but she's the mother of God, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, and the daughter of God the Father. Realize that she cares about us and that her love for us is even greater than the love of our own earthly mother. As much as our earthly mothers love us, the Blessed Mother loves us a million times more. Frank Duff says, consecrate yourself and your children to the Blessed Mother. When your children are born and baptized, consecrate them to the Blessed Mother. And also, make the total consecration yourself. Second, he says, the second spiritual weapon is devotion to Saint Joseph. He says, go to Joseph in time of need. He's the patron saint of workers, the patron saint of a happy death, patron saint of husbands and fathers. A beautiful prayer to say is Saint Joseph, called Father by Jesus, pray for us. That was his greatest privilege, to have Jesus call him Father. Third weapon for the spiritual life, he says, is spiritual reading. He says, you must develop a taste for good Catholic literature and get others to read good Catholic literature. He says, set aside time each day to nourish your faith, which will give us the answers to people when they have objections to the Catholic faith. If you're well-read as a Catholic, you'll be able to answer their objections. So he says, buy some books and read them, and even read them more than once. And don't let them gather dust after they're read, but let them gather souls. In other words, let them give them out to other people. Let other people borrow the good books. He says, some good religious periodicals should enter our homes each month. So we should have good Catholic newspapers or good Catholic magazines come to our homes. He says, read the lives of the saints. Don't spend all your time just reading the secular papers. He says, so many people just wallow away their day in the daily paper. He says, don't waste time. And the fourth weapon he gives us is daily meditation. He says, reading will lead us to prayer and meditation. Reading is the oil for the lamp. And so if we haven't been reading about God, it's going to be difficult to pray. He recommends that we read slowly and we think about what we've read. He says, meditation is to reading what digestion is to food. If we just read without thinking about it, it would be like eating without digesting the food. So he says, meditation will lead us to realization. He says, for example, there's a big difference between knowing something and realizing something. Second, that grace, sanctifying grace in our soul, is the most important possession in the whole world. And that sin, even venial sin, is infinitely the greatest misfortune in the world. So prayer and meditation make Jesus real to us. And he says a personal love for Jesus makes sacrifice delightful and sanctity easy. So he says this is how to meditate. He says when you're in the chapel, picture Jesus before you. Picture his slender form, his serene, lovely face, his words, his actions, his mildness, his wisdom, his purity, his patience, his tenderness. Look and admire and seek to draw these virtues of loveliness into yourself. He says our Lord and his qualities are not only holy, but they're sanctifying. The mere looking upon them with good intentions will imprint them on our hearts and make them part of us. So picture Jesus standing before you, picture his holiness, and ask Jesus to pass on that holiness and virtue to you. He says when it's difficult to meditate, he says use a good spiritual book, go to the Blessed Sacrament, and read very slowly. He says maybe take a book like The Imitation of Christ or Sacred Scripture and just read a couple sentences and then talk to Jesus about it in the manner of prayer. And he says this is a good way to make meditation. The fifth chapter, Frank Duff tells us, has to do with working for our neighbor. He says serving our neighbor out of love for God means that what we do to our neighbor, we do to God himself. And so he recommends six things in working for our neighbor. The first is realize that we can exert great influence over others for either good or evil. He says our ability to influence other people is almost without limit. He said when God finds a humble, a dependable worker, God uses him as a channel of his grace to others. Other people work for the devil, whereas we want to work for God. And he gives examples like St. Paul, St. Dominic, St. Francis. These were people that worked for God, that influenced great good upon the whole human race. Whereas if we think of Luther or Voltaire or Hitler or Stalin, we see what one person can do for evil. So Frank Duff says that you can do great good for God just as an individual person. One plus God is a majority. That if you're working with God, then you'll do great things. He says, let our dominating idea be the glory of God and the salvation of souls. So what everything we should do should be to love God and to bring as many people closer to him as possible. Secondly, he says, realize that there will be trials. and people will persecute you. He says, you will be called narrow-minded and intolerant because you have definite views. He says, for to have definite rules of principle and conduct does mean that we shall appear narrow to those who are not similarly hampered. It is part of the penalty of being right. Third point, he says, is being associated with religion will bring responsibilities. For example, if people know you as a religious person, they're going to hold you up to higher standards. He says, people will judge religion in general because of you. If you are kind, loving, charitable in your words and actions, you will help them to grow closer to God, because in your goodness they will catch a glimpse of Him. On the other hand, Frank Duff says, if you are careless at your work, dirty in your dress, mean in your conduct, you have done your religion an injury. It sinks into the gutter with yourself. So he says, in your work, in your family life, in sports and music and activities, and with your neighbors and friends, always be a good example. Realize that you represent the Catholic faith and you represent religion. So your language and how you act and speak will either lead people closer to God by giving them good example, or will lead them away from God. Fourth, he says, realize that the church will always be attacked. He says, often we can respond to these attacks with the knowledge that we have. But if you don't know the answer, he says, make an act of faith and realize that just because you don't know the answer doesn't mean the church doesn't have the answer. He says the church does have the answer. He says that the church has been around for 2,000 years. It's had many opponents, and the opponents have come and gone with their false philosophy, but the church has lived on. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. 50 says, how can we do big things for God and for souls? He says, we can do things for people who will not do things otherwise for themselves. For example, organizing a pilgrimage, organizing a retreat. These are things that people would not do on their own, but if somebody else does the work, then they will join. So, for example, he says, make things easy for people. Organize things so that all they have to do is sign up and go. Number 6, he says, on how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. He says they're little things, and he gives us examples on how we can serve and influence our neighbor. For example, he says, if you've read a really good book, buy an extra copy or two of that book and lend it around. He says if there's a good Catholic magazine, after you're done reading it, give it to somebody else, or promote a good Catholic religious paper or magazine. He says if you know of a good organization that makes its members holy, like the Legion or St. Vincent de Paul Society or other groups, he says bring somebody into it. Recommend a good Catholic college or university where vocations may flourish. He also says get people to go on a retreat or teach catechism, teach CCD. He says one day a lady came to St. Pius X and says, I want to do something great for God. What can I do? You know what the Pope said? Go back to your parish and teach little children the catechism. And if you do that, you'll be doing something great for God. He also says, visit the sick and the lonely. Be cheerful, smile at them, and you will receive lots of love and prayers from them. He says, spread good Catholic literature, booklets, holy cards. He says, give out miraculous medals, scapulars, rosaries. He says, in spreading devotion to these, you will set up channels of grace, and people will come back to the sacrament because you gave them a miraculous medal, scapular, or rosary. And the sixth chapter is the shortest one. It's on the secret of influencing others. And he says, the way to influence others is to care about them, to show affection for them. He says, this is the great secret of all real influence. He says, to possess it, he says, look only for the good qualities in anybody that you meet. You will find them. He says, never look for faults, for you will find them too. So he says, act in this way and you will develop the habit of love and the secret of influencing others. So he says the secret of influencing people is to truly and sincerely care about them and show your love for them in words and actions and show them that you truly care about them. And lastly, the seventh chapter, Frank Duff says that we should see God in his works. And he gives 6 points. He says, first, see God in all things. Let the things of this world remind us of God and lead us to him. Realize that everything we see is being held in existence by God right now. Everything you see, God is keeping in existence. Not only did he create everything, but he keeps everything in existence. Like this pulpit, this podium, the organ, the altar, the statue, God right now is keeping things in existence. And that should remind us that God is present everywhere, that we're always in the presence of God. Everything we see is being held in existence by him. If God ceased for one instant to stop thinking about this pulpit, it would vanish. And all these books would fall right to the ground. So God right now is keeping you in existence by thinking about you right now. Second, he says, realize that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Realize that everybody in the state of grace is a temple of God, a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God is within us. Like Ignatius of Antioch, who was Theophorus, God-bearer, every one of us is a God-bearer. We have God within our souls through sanctifying grace. Frank Duff says, how could we ever feel sorrowful or lonely or think ourselves poor when we realize that God is within us through grace? He says, look at the sun up in the sky. He says, he who made it is inside of you. The God who created the universe, the stars, the sea, the galaxies, the oceans, all those things, is within you. And sin, mortal sin, drives God away, and you lose God through mortal sin. So he says, if you realize that, if you're driving out the divine guest when you commit a sin, he says, sin will be repulsive, and you would never want to drive out the divine guest from your soul. Third, he says, see God's beauty in creation. Frank Duff says, will not the delicate flower or the sky, tinted with splendor, speak to us with new meaning? He says, natural beauty is a reflection of God's beauty. It's only a shadow of God's beauty. So when we see something on earth that is very beautiful, a sunset, the mountains, the ocean, that should just reflect just one little ounce of what God would be like and multiply that infinitely, a million, billion, trillion times. God is more delightful, more mighty, more pure, more exquisite, more glorious. All the things of this world should help us to think of God. Fourth, he says, realize that God is good. And whatever he allows you in your life is for your good. The crosses, the difficulties are actually a blessing from God. St. Louis de Montfort says that every cross is filled with diamonds. That every gift, every cross is actually a gift from God. He says, whether it be death, cancer, bankruptcy, or even just a headache, these actually are blessings in disguise. Because God is good. God is so good. He says we must be sure and make sure that we realize that whatever God allows to happen in our life is for our benefit. And number five, he says, have childlike trust in God. Call God Abba, which is Daddy. Have confidence in God, the loving Father. And lastly, number six, he says, realize that our hearts are made for God, for divine love, not merely for human love. He says, love God for God's sake, not our own sake. So many people seek the consolations of God instead of the God of consolations. He says that obviously people will serve God because of fear of hell or desire of heaven, but he says we should be motivated by higher love, by spiritual life that is concerned about pleasing God and loving God for God's sake. He says, as our love grows, we should be able to say with a little flower, St. Therese, Jesus, Jesus, I would so wish to love you as you have never yet been loved. And so there is the summary of the main points that Frank Duff makes in his booklet, Can We Be Saints? 7 chapters filled with tremendous wisdom and knowledge. And he wrote that when he was about 27 years old. And he lived to be 91 years old. So Frank Duff is truly a saintly person. God willing, will be canonized sometime soon. So I encourage you to get a copy of that booklet called Can We Be Saints? Read it, study it. I myself have tried to read it on a regular basis every 6 months or so. I probably read the booklet 10 or 20 times. And I'm still learning more and more every time I read it. So I encourage you to get a copy, to read it, and then to apply it to your daily spiritual life. God bless you.